music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, it's Kelly, and welcome to the show. This week, we continue our celebrations of the 20th anniversary of Janet Jackson's Velvet Rope by welcoming musician Daryl Smith to the show, who played keyboards for Janet during the Velvet Rope tour and has wonderful stories to share about traveling the world as part of Janet's band. But first, let's check out some new music from Camila Cabello off her brand new album. The song is called Never Be the Same on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Something must have gone wrong in my brain. Got your chemicals all in my veins. Feeling all the highs, feel all the pain. Let go of the wheel, it's the bullet lane. Now I'm seeing red, not thinking straight. The lines you intoxicate me, just like nicotine, heroin, morphine. Suddenly I'm a fiend, and you're all I need, all I need. Yeah, yeah, all I need is you.
Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
Shine on, diamond, don't make me wait another day. 'Cause passion is passion, you know it just as well as me.
My.
cut. I've got my tongue between your teeth. Go slow, no, no, go fast. You like it just as much as me. Now let's stop running from love, running from love.
Troye Sivan with a great song called My 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 on The Kelly Alexander Show. Hey, it's Kelly, and we're very happy to welcome musician Daryl Smith to the show, who has had a very successful career working with artists like Mary J. Blige, Elton John, Pink, and of course his time spent with Janet Jackson. Daryl is here to share wonderful memories of his time with Janet during the Velvet Rope World Tour. Daryl, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much.
So
glad to be here.
I wanted to start off by asking you, was a career in music always sort of where you were headed as a kid?
Yes, since the age of 5.
Awesome. What instruments did you take up right away? The piano, I guess?
Yep, just the piano. I played a little saxophone in middle school, but it's always been the piano that I've been gravitated towards.
And what would you consider to be your first big break in the industry?
Anita Baker tour, 1988.
Fantastic. And how did that come about?
I had moved to L.A. in 83. I went to USC for graduate school, and I was just playing around town, small clubs here and there, jazz clubs. And someone, a drummer, discovered me playing with a particular group and said, "Hey, man, would you be interested in auditioning for Anita Baker?" And I said, "Yeah, of course." And the person that I was auditioning with was George Duke. And I was lucky enough and talented enough to get the gig.
And so when you went from Anita, what was the next big thing, and was that Janet?
No, the next big thing after that was Sheena Easton.
Okay, cool.
And that was in 89. And Janet didn't happen until 93. So I went back out with Anita, and then I actually went out on tour with Paula Abdul before I went out with Janet.
And how did you sort of come into Janet's mind frame? Like, how did she end up finding out about you?
She had this, I wouldn't say it was a cattle call audition, but she had like 6 or 7 bands that were put together to audition for her Janet tour in 93. And I got singled out. Me and this other guy got singled out to play keys for her on the Janet tour. So it was kind of like a playoff. And again, I was lucky and talented enough to have gotten the gig with Janet on that Janet tour in 93.
Now, when you went out with her, obviously things I'm sure went very well. And when time came around for The Velvet Rope in 98, was it in your mind something that you thought would come to you again? Because we know that Janet likes to sort of bring around the same people if she can. Not all the time, but a fair amount of the time. So did you expect to maybe get a call for Velvet Rope?
I didn't really expect to get a call. I mean, in the back of my mind, it was there. But I was pleasantly surprised when I did, when it was because I had left to do Anita again, to tour with Anita, and the Janet tour hadn't ended yet. So I was replaced, and I thought, okay, well, you know, I made that decision. So it's possible that I will not get called for the Velvet Rope tour, but luckily I was.
And do you remember how that went down, Daryl? Like, who gave you the call? Was it Rex? Was it Janet or Renee?
It was Rex.
Okay.
It was Rex. And I remember just literally screaming at the top of my lungs when I did get that call from Rex saying that, hey, man, would you be interested in going out on tour with Janet again? I said, give me a second. And that's when I went somewhere and screamed. And then I came back calmly and I said, yes, I would love to do it.
That's awesome. Now, can you talk to us about sort of putting that band together? I know you'd obviously worked with Rex before, and I believe Terry, but were there similar people, I think, and maybe even Sam Sims, right, had played on the Janet Tour as well?
Yeah, and so did Dave Barry. And
okay.
Stacey Campbell was there as well. So I think those were pretty much the band from Janet Tour was put together for the Velvet Rope Tour.
Oh, and I guess Little John too, right? Because he had taken over for Jonathan at one point.
Yeah, Little John took over from Sugarfoot. I'm not sure when he came on. I wasn't on the gig on the Janet. That's when I left when he showed up.
Okay, cool.
And so I was looking forward to playing with him because I heard so many good things about his playing. So the Velvet Rope was my first tour with Little John playing drums.
Can you talk to us about sort of how the first initial steps came? Like, obviously, you'd played with a bunch of these people before. Did you sort of just slip back into old shoes, if you will, when you were putting together the set list and how things were going to roll out?
Yeah, see, the whole creative process, that's a very interesting question. I think Tina would be able to, and Rex could answer that way better than I could. I know that... we rehearsed as a band most of what we did on the Janet tour and then started bringing in the Velvet Rope pieces towards the end of that rehearsal process, if my memory serves me right. It was really a short process when the band got together because we had such a head start on all the other stuff from the Control album and the Rhythm Nation album. We knew all that stuff. It was just sort of, you know, refreshing and just... getting it all back in muscle memory mode. But when we heard the Velvet Rope stuff, that was, first of all, we knew that that was going to be a great album, but it had its challenges. So, I think Tina and Rex can give you a better idea on the step-to-step, day-to-day creative process on how the set list was created.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is musician Daryl Smith, and you can follow him on Instagram and on Facebook at D. Laurent Smith. So, Daryl, can you talk to us about The Velvet Rope itself with regards to the album? Had you already heard the full album by the time you guys sort of sat down for rehearsal, and what is your favorite piece to play from that album?
That's The Way Love Goes was my favorite piece. Yeah, we listened to the whole album from stem to stern, and... we just knew, oh my God, Jimmy and Terry just killed it. You know, we loved everything. Lonely, was Rope Burn on Velvet Rope?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I remember us playing that and just losing our mind. And all the other tunes were just so funky. Jimmy and Terry just really did a great job on that album.
I wanted to ask you how Janet is in your mind as a musician, because obviously people talk about her the most when it comes to her dancing skills and not so much when it comes to her as a vocalist and a musician. What's your take on her?
She is probably one of the funkiest, rhythmically, vocally, rhythmically and tonal. She's got a beautiful voice. Let's just start there. And you get caught up in the dance moves, but she can really sing, and she sings beautifully. But she's got a pocket that is just, it's just like, you know, the Jacksons, like Michael Jackson had the same thing. You can't really describe it in words. They just have this rhythmic genius about them, whether they're dancing or singing.
I would agree. Yeah, 100%. 100%. And how is Janet as a boss and leader?
One of the most beautiful human beings that I know of. Sweet, compassionate, conscientious, fun, great laugh, likes to tease, can be a practical joker. What better boss could you possibly ask for?
That's awesome. And when it came time to sort of putting both the dance and the band together, I know that, like you'd said, Rex and Tina probably had to work hand in hand to sort of make sure everything was going well. What did it feel like when you sort of hit the stage for the first time with the Velvet Rope? Like, did you guys feel in a great place?
I mean, we were so excited before we hit the stage when we were in production rehearsals and when we finally did dress rehearsals and seeing all the costumes and the production of the of the tour. Before we even played a note in front of an audience, we were already just head over heels over the production value of that tour. We didn't know that we were going to be a part of history, cultural history, but we just felt like something was special about this particular tour and this particular group of people.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the HBO special? Because obviously that was fairly groundbreaking at the time. I know HBO was the big thing at the time, and it was really huge to be able to sort of have your own special and have it be live. Was there added anticipation / stress when you guys were getting ready for that night?
Oh. There was so much stress, and I've done a few since then, and it still doesn't get any easier. I mean, you just put yourself under a microscope. As far as you're playing, because you don't want to make a mistake, and it's live, and but it's taped. I mean, they can make necessary changes because they do it over like a 2-day show, like two shows. They tape two shows, so hopefully you can get one out of the two, and hopefully you don't make the same mistake in the same show, on separate shows. So, but it is an exhilarating, nerve-wracking experience.
I can only
imagine.
And
that's putting it lightly.
And by that point, too, I know you guys had been out on the road for a long time, so I'm sure in a way it was second half, but having like Q-Tip come out and perform with you guys and being in front of that New York audience, what did it feel like, Daryl, being a part of that?
Oh, the energy whenever I play in New York, it's always off the charts as far as the energy level and the electricity in the building. But when Q-Tip came out, and it was like, I wish I could have just stopped in time and just lived that moment over and over again.
I think a lot of us would have, so I totally understand where you're coming from on that. And, I wanted to get your take as well. Like, I know you've played with so many other artists that I named off the top, and you've had a very successful career. I wanted to know, though, with all these other tours you've done and all these other artists you've worked with, do you find that Janet's fans are just kind of different? It just feels that way to me. Obviously, I'm one of them, but I've also interviewed a bunch of other artists, and it just feels like Janet definitely has something special when it comes to her fandom.
I think there is a difference in her fandom. I think it's because of her. She really genuinely wants to reach every single fan that's out there in the audience. And I think the fans pick up on that. I think it's she wants a genuine connection with her fans. I don't think there's anything disingenuous about how she wants to connect with her fans. And she's really one of the artists that just really inspires me as far as how she can make that connection, as shy as she can be at times, you know, she genuinely makes that connection with her fans, and the fans get it. And there's nothing like a Janet Jackson fan. I haven't come across I've done a lot of tours, and yeah, a Janet Jackson fan, stands out.
And I wanted to get your thoughts on what you would like to maybe say to, Janet fans right now, because so many of them are obviously very excited that it is the 20th anniversary of the Velvet Rope. And, I know that, yes, Janet was sort of the focal point of everything, but, we all know who was in the band. We all know the dancers. You guys were famous kind of in your own right. So what do you want to say to the fans 20 years later?
Oh, man, that's a very good question. Well, first of all, I just want to thank them for being loyal and gracious fans, and I think a certain amount of gratitude, because let's just face it, we couldn't do it without the fans, and we certainly love looking out into the audience and seeing faces that are engaged and smiling. And I would have to just say, you know, I just would keep it simple and say, thank you so much for your support and your love. And to this day, you know, I'm sure there's still fans that are still alive that were that had seen the Velvet Rope Tour that are just as engaged as they were then.
Fantastic. And Daryl, I did want to ask you too, I'm not sure when the last time it was that you actually spoke to Janet, but what message would you want to give to her on this 20th anniversary of such a seminal album?
That I love her dearly. And I saw her just before she announced that she was pregnant when she was here in Atlanta. And we just talked and had a great time. And I just want to, just tell her that, you know, I love her and I'm so proud of her. This tour that she's on now, she is killing it at the age of 50 and being a new mom. She just has this beaming quality about her now. That's just, I'm jealous. I actually want to be on stage with her now. So tell her to call me and so we can go back out on the road.
Perfect. Well, we're going to put that out in the universe, that's for sure. And and Daryl, thank you. So, before I let you go, though, I did want to ask, where can fans find you now? What are you working on so they can catch up with you?
Well, I'm going to be leaving for Australia. I'm playing with Stevie Nicks now. She's one of the singers in Fleetwood Mac. And I'm also playing with Cher. And I just finished up with Cher like a month ago. But I hopefully will have an opportunity to work with her next year because she's going to continue her residency in Vegas and in D.C. But the most current thing I'll be doing is I'll be on a plane for 26 hours flying to Sydney with Stevie Nicks for a month.
Awesome. Well, good luck with that. And on behalf of the Janet fans, just thank you so much for everything you did with Janet on the multiple tours. And I'll have you back on the show to talk about the Janet tour again, if I can do that with you. And and just thank you so much. The Velvet Rope was special to so many of us, and it wouldn't have been the same if it wasn't for the players involved. So thank you.
No, thank you for this opportunity for me to share.
That is a musician, Daryl Smith. Make sure to check him out on Facebook and Instagram at D. LaRosse Smith.
There are times when I look above and beyond. There are times when I feel your love around me, baby. I'll never forget.
Yeah.
Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Click on KellyAlexanderShow.com.
That's new music from talented Canadian artist Jocelyn Alice. And if you don't know about Jocelyn, you definitely need to. She is a fantastic songwriter and a true bright light on the Canadian music scene. She's got songs that you need to hear called Bound to You, as well as Jackpot. Hey, it's Kelly, and joining us now is Al Capo, member of an alternative rock band from Vaughan, Ontario, called Stuck on Planet Earth. Al is here to let us know about their fantastic song called Permanent and what you can expect from the band when you check them out. Al, thank you so much for joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I wanted to actually start a little bit backwards with regards to, you know, how did the band actually come together? Were you guys, you know, buddies in high school?
Adam and I, we kind of started a high school band. We were about 13 years old. And when we were 18, we decided to start a new band called Stuck on Planet Earth. And that's when we got Andrew, our current drummer. So we've been playing for over 10 years now this past July.
And when you guys came together and started working together, did you figure out pretty quickly what type of music you'd be making? Like, or has it sort of evolved over time?
I'd say that it's evolved over time, but for the most part, it was always kind of like we were always into alternative rock and we were always into grunge. And I think where the evolution's come in over time is that we really like R&B and kind of like 90s. So it's kind of trying to mesh, you know, alternative rock and grunge with this kind of the flavors of 90s R&B kind of melodies. So like I think that's a newer evolution in the band, I'd say, within the last 2.5 years, that's kind of been a little bit more prevalent.
So you've just made my heart skip a beat because I'm a huge 90s fan, especially of R&B. So you have to tell me which 90s artists actually, you know, do you enjoy quite a bit that have influenced you?
I mean, we love, you know, old school Destiny's Child, TLC, Aaliyah. I'm naming all female singers. But then there's, like, you know, Genuine Pony. That's a cover that we did, and you can actually see that on YouTube, our, like, rendition of Genuine's Pony. And so, yeah, we draw kind of influences from there. I mean, obviously, a lot of rock and roll, you know, besides the R&B stuff, we're big fans of Nirvana, big fans of The Police, Jimmy Eat World. So those kind of alternative slash grunge bands, you know, Stone Temple Pilots. Those all have had really big influences on our band.
Speaking of Stone Temple Pilots, I should say, I want to get your opinion. They've just recently announced that they've, you know, picked up a new lead singer after the death of Scott a couple of years back. Are you, like, a purist, or do you think a band does need to potentially move on if something like this happens?
I think it's a good move. I mean, the DeLeo brothers are really good songwriters, so, you know, they got to do what they got to do, man. They want to keep making music and playing shows. And we've been lucky enough that before Scott Whelan passed away, we got to open for him in Toronto at Canadian Music Week. So we got to pretty much open for one of our legends, which was an amazing experience for us. So seeing him in person was awesome, and it's so sad the way things happen. But yeah, I mean, the band's gotta keep on keeping on if they got good music, right?
That is for sure. Now, talk to us about the new song. When I was sort of trolling for new music, I heard you guys, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I'm not usually like a rock girl, but I really thought this was fantastic. And maybe it's because you mentioned as well that you do have those sort of soul and R&B flavors in there as well. Talk to us about the song. Did it come to you guys easily? And you know, who wrote it?
Yeah, so I mean, like, Permanent was a song that we had, like, from 2012, and we could just never really figure it out. We kept bringing it into the studio and pre-production with our producer, and I don't know, it couldn't come together. And then recently we hooked up with Steve Malella, who's a drummer of Finger 11, and he's a great producer. And he's like, you know, I really like the song, like, let's work on it. And over the course of the summer, we kind of worked on it, and it came together pretty, I guess, pretty smoothly in comparison to all the other times that we really tried to make it happen. So, yeah, we recorded it with Steve, and, you know, I think it's kind of like a play on, like, you know, kind of like the future of where, like, dating and one-night stands is. You know, there's this whole culture of Tinder dating and Bumble dating, and everybody's looking for fun, and no one's looking for anything serious, and it's kind of like a play on that, you know, that this isn't permanent. So, and it was always kind of an idea that we had laying around. It's just, it really just came together this past summer. And yeah, we're so stoked with the way that it turned out. And we think that Steve did a really great job at producing the song.
Did you guys know that it was catchy? Because I really find, like, it's hooky and it makes you want to sort of, you know, pound the steering wheel as you're driving down the road listening to it.
I mean, yeah, like, as soon as we kind of came up with the chorus, yeah, we knew we had something pretty special. You know, I mean, it's definitely been a bit of like an evolution for the band, as I said before. So it's, yeah, we know it's catchy. That's the simple answer. Yeah, it's a catchy song for sure.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is Al Capo, one third of the alternative rock band Stuck on Planet Earth, who actually hail from Vaughan, which is just outside Toronto. Al, I wanted to actually ask you about being so close to Toronto. Do you have a lot of, you know, do you think influence that seeps into the band from being so close to that big city, which for many people is actually the mecca in Canada to go to with regards to trying to get their recording career off the ground?
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, like, Vaughan is about a 25-minute drive northwest of Toronto, so there's really not much to play in Vaughan, and we've never really, you know, we've never really played too much in Vaughan just because there's not a lot of venues. So for us, it's always been about playing in Toronto, and you know, we play just about every small and large venue in Toronto, and that's just kind of where we've always, you know, been. That's where the music is at. So, I mean, you know, to answer your question, it's Toronto's home, right? Toronto's where it's at for the music scene. So that's just always where we've been playing.
Now, what is up next for you guys, like, within the next 6 months to a year? Like, do you have specific goals set out for yourself as a band?
Yeah, so, like, we're just trying to figure out if we're releasing an EP or a full-length album. We've got a lot of music that's recorded right now, kind of in the process of seeing how we're getting it out. And then we're going to do a whole lot of touring. We'll definitely be, I think you're from Montreal, but we'll be in Montreal. So hopefully we can you can come out and get to watch that show.
That would be awesome. And can you talk to us about if you have designs on trying to break the American market, or if it's important for you to sort of make everything happen here in Canada first?
You know, we've toured America quite a bit over the last 4 years. We've toured North America and Canada. You know, we've sang in the States. It's so different than playing in Canada. And yeah, I mean, we've of course, like, I mean, that's every Canadian band's dream. If you can get down to the States and make something happen there, that's where you want to be for sure, making music. And you know, on another note, Canada is just as important because we're from here. But right now, you know, because we're based in Canada and we do a lot of shows in Canada, we can't ignore our Canadian fans or the Canadian market at the end of the day. Like, we're always trying to do as much as we can. But yeah, we'll be getting back to the States. If the path ends up carving out that we're able to make a career for ourselves in the States, that's the ultimate goal, I think.
Is being in the band like a full-time career for you with regards to the fact that not only are you guys artists and musicians, but you have to be businessmen as well?
We definitely want to make this our lives and our careers. I think being an independent band, obviously, it's got its ups and downs. And, you know, at points, you got to work the, you know, crappy jobs just to kind of get by. But, you know, on the business side, we like to keep the art and the business separate. And, you know, we try not to involve ourselves too much on the business. We have our manager who's very helpful in that kind of scenario. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, the music is always first, and it's always about, you know, making sure that we're making the best music and, you know, kind of putting the best art that we can out there, whether it's through our music videos or our pictures and photos or our music. That's kind of always a priority for us.
And what do you want someone who is listening, because the show is my show is actually broadcast around the world on iTunes and Stitcher and on our website and even actually over on some radio stations overseas. For someone who doesn't know yet about Stuck on Planet Earth, what's the one thing that you want them to know about you guys, the band?
I think it's, you know, that we've got a really cool blend that if you're into rock music, you'll like it. If you like the R&B melodies, you'll like it. But overall, I think it's just, you know, we're from the suburbs, and it's always been about kind of trying to tell these dark and seedy stories from the suburbs. And it has this kind of like late night, sexy feel to it. And that's something that we've always tried to capture. And I think as we keep writing and as we become better songwriters, it becomes a little bit more prevalent in our music. I mean, if you're into late night sexy rock and roll, then this is kind of something that I think you got to check out.
How important is Spotify for you guys? Is that your main sort of avenue to get the music out to the fans?
Yeah, right now, you know, I think right now, being an independent band, Spotify is more important than even being on radio. And it's really hard to break on Spotify and get onto those powerful playlists that could literally change the course of your career overnight. But, I mean, we put a lot of focus onto Spotify for sure. I mean, you can find all of our music there and kind of see the playlists that we make. And, you know, it's definitely a very important aspect for our band.
Awesome. Well, Al, thank you so much for making time for us. We wish you continued success, and you're always welcome back on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kelly. And yeah, when we're in Montreal, we hope we can get you out and come check us out at a show.
That would be perfect. That is Al Capo again from Stuck on Planet Earth. Make sure to check them out, stuckonplanetearth.com. You can find all their social media and, of course, check them out on Spotify.
You feel better close to me. Didn't think that you could feel this way. Truth, I know that I can never be the one to take away. This isn't permanent. You try to put me through the fire, but I have no intention to stay. Muse, yeah, I can play the muse, but you know that this lie will fade. 'Cause this isn't permanent.
Call it physical.
music on The Kelly Alexander Show.
I'll be the last one standing, two hands in the air, I'm a champion. You'll be looking up at me when it's over. I live for the battle, I'm a soldier. Yeah, I'm a fighter like Rocky. Put your flag on your back like Ali. Yeah, I'm the greatest, I'm stronger. Bet my dues, can't lose, I'm my own, yeah.
I possess through the drama. H is for the hurt, but it's all for the honor. A is for my attitude, working through the patience. Money comes and goes, so the M is for motivation. Gotta stay consistent, the P is to persevere. The I is for integrity, innovative career. The O is optimistic, open and never shut. And the N is necessary, cause I'm never giving up. See, they ask me how I did it, I just did it from the heart. Crushing the competition, been doing it from the start. They say that every champion is all about his principles. Carry.
On Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Click on KellyAlexanderShow.com.
I'm so attracted about a working man that always made sense. When he's backing out the tractor for patching up the old wood fence. He doesn't need a weight bench, you ought to see the boy split wood. Wrenching on a farm truck is how he makes his arms look good. All the ladies on. Wow, wow. Like John Wayne. make a wow wow.
Reigning Canadian Country Music Awards Female Artist of the Year, Megan Patrick on The Kelly Alexander Show. Thank you so much for joining us on the program this week. We always appreciate your time. A big thank you as well going out to our guests, Daryl Smith and Al Capo from Stuck on Planet Earth. A big thank you as well going out to my producer, Adam Breesall, for pushing all the right buttons. And please make sure to follow us on all of our social media. You can do so by jumping onto our website, kellyalexandershow.com. And of course, it would be great if you signed up to our newsletter, tinyletter.com/kellyalexandershow. Have a great week. And to close out the show, it is Noah Kahan and Julia Michaels with Hurt Somebody on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Taking it slowly. I'm afraid to be lonely. Nobody told me it's harder than I thought to tell the truth. It's gonna leave you in pieces, all alone with your demons. And I know that we need this, but I've been too afraid to follow through. Hold me close and I won't leave. Cause it hurts when you hurt somebody. So much to say but I don't speak. And I hate that I let you stop me. Cause it hurts when you hurt somebody.
Don't know where the time went. Stuck in the wrong mindset. And I let the rules bend. When I know that all along I made the break. Hey, you got me searching for reasons to keep me from leaving. And then I have trouble breathing. I give myself another chance to stay. Hey.
Hold me close and I won't leave. Cause it hurts when you hurt somebody. So much to say but I don't speak. And I hate that I let you stop me. Cause it hurts when you hurt somebody. One day before you know it you will see
all of the pain and all the irony, yeah.
You'll feel the sting and then you'll think of me. Cause it hurts when you hurt. Hold me close and I won't leave. Cause it hurts when you hurt somebody. So much to say but I don't speak. And I hate that I let you stop me. Hold me close and I won't leave. Cause it hurts when you hurt somebody. So much to say, but I don't speak. And I hate that I let you stop me. Cause it hurts when you hurt somebody.